Hello, everyone.
Oh, there you go.
Welcome.
I'm like,
stuff on mute. I can hear you. I'm shuffling in the background. Anyway, apologies.
Yes, I'm like, what do I talk?
Welcome to Universal Energy Radio and the Lowest Effect. This is Alisa.
And this is Liz, and here we are.
No apologies.
Listen, we're here. Listen, honey, the fact that we're still doing this show, thank you. I mean, come on. Everything's great. I do want to shout out, and I hope I get the names right. So, Alisa, I know you know, so you'll correct me if I'm mistaken. But I want to shout out Lois's daughter, Diane, and
yes.
Lois's former student and friend, Leslie. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. You know, because when I discovered that Lois's husband, Keith, knows about the show, and other people, and her family close to her are learning about the show. And I was a little mortified because I'm not thinking about who's listening to the show. We're just doing the show. And the show and from day one, we've been led by the show. Like the show is, we're not producing the show. The show is producing us, basically. That's
pretty
really
much
how it's been all along. And I just want to acknowledge that I was, privy to two emails, well, actually more than two emails, a couple from Leslie and then one from Diane that really just smoothed out my frayed nerves and concerns, and both very supportive of, like, their love for New York, Lois's connection to New York, because I just felt like, I hope no one thinks I'm being coy, crass, disrespectful. Now, those things I am, but when it comes to, but when it comes to the information coming in and Lois making her presence known, that is in such a sacred space that I have absolutely nothing to do with that. In a sense, mm-hmm. I take a very respectful back seat and allow whatever comes in to flow in. So I just wanted to say thank you because it really settled my concerns. So I just wanted to say that because those emails came on the heels of the last show or two. So thanks, guys. Phew.
Yeah, and I know that usually, like, Leslie and I will chat. I've not had a chance to really chat with her in the last couple of weeks, I guess. I've been super busy.
You've been busy.
But yeah, Diane has sent me. Thank you also for forwarding those emails.
Oh yeah, of course.
Y'all, when you email the LOA blend, it goes to an account. I guess we could both check it, but I normally don't. I don't have that info like logged into my account. I rely on you to just like send me.
Oh yeah,
okay.
Always.
What's going on?
Always.
And you always do. So
of course.
So I was glad to get a recap of the thread. Of
right.
Emails. But you know, Diane has emailed me, you know, just because, you know, we were talking specifically about stuff with her mom, and you know, she's met me before, so So we've had an ongoing conversation, and I get where, especially with someone as powerful, I guess is a good way to put it, as Lois, who had a following, you know, who taught her lessons and had a following and had built a really strong community here. You know, I get that people will see her differently than, you know, say like her daughter would see her. And to have those emotions come up, you know, I have this ongoing thing about, you know, when my parents eventually have to transition on.
Yep.
And I know that, you know, there are things that I've been able to make peace with, you know, over the last few years while I've been traveling with my mom. And also just with my dad. It doesn't mean that you have to have a tough relationship with your parents to feel, you know, whatever you're going to feel. But I think especially most of us are going to have something that, oh, I wish I'd been able to do this, or I wish I'd said this. So I know that when the parent passes on, or anybody for that matter, when that person's done, it's like, ooh, okay. The thing is to think of all the things that you know, maybe were left unsaid or undone.
Right.
Because obviously the focus then is that this person isn't here anymore in the physical.
Right.
So we have to add that additional layer because I've seen it with the way my cousin still has this amazing connection to her mother who's passed
right.
on. It's been over, you know, over 15 years now, or almost 15 years now.
Wow.
So it takes a while. Like everything takes an adjustment period. And,
yes.
And things will still come up. You know, things are still going to come up and things are going to get triggered. And so we've had some nice back and forth just through email and, you know, and even people in her grandson has, you know, has had voiced some concerns about, you know, just as people are learning about it. I think it's like, well, wait a minute. And I was trying to think, like, if someone were said, oh, yeah, I challenged your grandmother.
I know. Like,
what? What? but see, the thing is, because I know you and I know how your gift has evolved over the years.
Oh, yeah, you've watched.
I've seen it. And so
right.
when things come in, like you said, you know, you just things come in and you say them.
Right.
And you share them. And even if you're not sure, because you don't know any of these people.
Nope.
Who are asking, much less the people who are on the other side, you don't know. I think the way you've asked questions just to confirm or to verify, okay, you know, is this one really for you? Is this, you know, is this relevant? I've been very, I was like, yeah, okay. And partly it's because I've asked, you know.
True.
I've asked the question, and I think it had to get to that point where if I've asked, then I'm trusting that because I asked and I had an idea of what this person meant to me or why I'm asking, then I'm going
right.
to trust that answer. I'm going to trust that whatever's coming through, and that may be, you know, naive of me, but I have to trust also my own instinct. And if
correct.
Stuff doesn't make any sense, I'm like, okay, well, the stuff that does make sense, I'm going to take, and the rest that doesn't, maybe it'll make sense at some point.
Right.
The thing is, you know, you're doing these things. Like, stuff is just coming through because you're open for it. So, you know, it's just interesting because, you know, you're a pretty guarded person, but then energetically, it's like you're picking up on so many things.
It's so crazy. Yes. It
so,
makes no sense. Right.
So anyway, I mean, it's an ongoing conversation. And so with Lois's daughter, you know, just that she has reconnected, I think this is stuff that has been stirred up. I mean, it's interesting that when I was working with Lois in the physical, I would come across her daughter and her family, you know, once in a blue moon. You know, we would sometimes go to some of the shows. Like sometimes Lois would want me to accompany her to some of the shows that her son.
I remember, actually, years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now he must be grown up.
Oh, yeah, he's like 24.
Yeah, I remember you would, I think, early on.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been doing this show for a long time. That
yeah.
you would accompany the family to go see her grandson on stage, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember. Yeah. Oh, my God. So, yeah, of course. So it's like, why is this crazy chick from New York talking about my grandma? Sorry. She came to me. Okay.
Yeah. And so I get it. The thing is, you know, because I know you and how you are, how you work with people, you know, a lot of the stuff you're doing, it's because of the show that you're like, oh, all of a sudden you're a medium.
Oh, it's because of the show. Yeah. I was minding my own business 11 years ago and then hello.
So
then all this happened.
You know, I feel like as we have set the intentions for the show in whatever name it takes, you know, because in the beginning it wasn't the Lois Effect, it was the LOA blend, that we both had come from our own backgrounds of knowing, you know, this is stuff you have to be very respectful of. You can't just be like, oh, whatever.
No, it's sacred.
We may come off that way
in course.
Our conversations, but
well, you know, we have to entertain the people.
All the things that we've learned about and that we've done on our own as we come to this has
so
been
sacred.
To be very, very respectful.
Oh my God.
And so that's how we come. So, you know, if people are upset or if they don't understand, that's understandable. Like,
of course,
that is not going to faze us. And if they need to contact us or talk it out, you're welcome to.
Well, yes. Well, girl,
because,
that's why I was like a little mortified. Like, oh my God, because it didn't even look. Because when all this started with Lois a couple of years ago, it was all a matter of surprise,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you had questions, and I don't, and then I started getting like the hits that I get from the other side. So, of course, what am I going to do? Well, somebody might be listening. And no, I wasn't thinking about – I wasn't self-conscious about it at all. I was just like how we do on the show. Like, this is coming in, and I'm sharing this because I don't even know, you know, I know the energy, but I don't know this person.
Right.
And I could tell you
right.
we get along great like this. Not that we would not have gotten along. We would have appreciated
right.
and respected each other, you know, from a lovely distance. But this is so much more elevated, and it's intimate. You know, someone's coming in from the other side. That's intimate.
Mm-hmm.
That I have the respect and the honor, because it is an honor,
right?
To step aside with my craziness, to step aside. So then you can always tell, because sometimes it's like a hybrid where I'm like, oh, she's
mm-hmm.
really coming in. I'm really stepping aside because the language is very academic and loving and patient. And not that I'm not loving, and I can be academic sometimes, but not really, that I know you can tell when I start giving you the heads up, like, okay, I'm really, out of respect, I'm really going to take a back seat and just
right.
express the energy as it comes in. One thing that a lot of people don't understand is that the energetic information is just that, it's energetic information. So it's nonverbal. So I'm getting these frequencies of information through the filter of where that person is coming from. And if that person is a powerhouse, now I don't know Lois, but my understanding, and I feel it energetically, is that a very strong, a beautiful force of a person with a lot to say mm-hmm. and a very profound mind, that mm-hmm. energetically my vocabulary is going to link up and be more of an energetic match than if it was just me on the corner, you know, looking for tricks. Okay, now, Lois's family, I apologize, but this is, you know, these are metaphors that, you know,
right.
a girl's going to use.
Right.
So,
right.
But it's really out of the regard and the respect. So it's very interesting. Also, there is a difference. So number one, it's nonverbal. So I'm picking up on these frequencies and finding within my frame of reference the closest vocabulary match to the energy coming in, because it's nonverbal. It's all telepathic, number
mm-hmm.
one. So, but there is a fine line between, in my opinion, okay, mediumship and channeling. Now, what's very interesting is that it's kind of a hybrid with her, because if it's a channeled situation, and sometimes that has happened, where I completely leave the building to the point that I don't even remember. I'll remember like little bullet points, but I won't really remember. This is why I rely on you, Elisa. I will just go into such an altered state, and whatever comes out, and that's as close to them communicating in a verbal form, but it's still that suspension of disbelief and that trust. But I'm mm-hmm. not going to really know what I'm saying. The listeners will receive it. I will on an energetic level, but not on a verbal level. And then with mediumship, it's more like I'm a phone operator or mm-hmm. a translator for the UN, where I'm translating in real time energetic information. Again, it can be fairly accurate in all those aspects, especially with mediumship, where I've had readings with people where I'll say a specific name, or I will mention a specific item of clothing or an object or a pet. It could be very, very specific, depending on the connection and how thin the veil is. And I guess having the privilege of doing this show for 11 years now, that it has been my place to practice my practice.
Mm. Right.
So, yeah, but I can totally appreciate and understand concerns, and that's why I wanted to shout out Diane and Leslie. And Keith was being so open,
mm-hmm.
You know, and that's lovely, and I do appreciate that, because there's no malice. Or, I mean, look, and you can certainly speak for me, and because they know you, I feel this wouldn't happen if it's all your fault, Elisa. No, this is, I blame you. You know, you miss her. She's always been this, from the day that I met you, always been this major influence. I remember when she was alive. I remember your relationship. I remember all of that. So it's all of that the foundation was established, and she's a smart woman. I mean, there's a platform. She knows you. Obviously, energetically, she knows I'm a safe bet. You know, mm-hmm. I could be crazy, but energetically, I'm very sane. I'm a safe bet. So there you have it. But it never occurred to me, because we're just so in the present.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that's great, because that's ego. You know, that's like, I don't know. Then I would suppress and censor myself. I don't do that. I don't do
right.
that on this show. I don't do it when I have a private session. So a lot of times when it's a new client or they don't know me from the show, because obviously, you know, that this isn't, you know, Buffy L.L. Bean here. Excuse me.
Not that there's anything wrong with Buffy or L.L.
That's nothing. Listen, you want Buffy's number, but that's another show. But that's besides the point. That's besides the point.
Oh, my
goodness.
Nothing
wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But, however, I'm not everyone's cup of tea, and I know that.
Right.
So what I do is a courtesy. If I'm referred to somebody, they don't know me from the show or whatever, I always do like a 10-minute pre-reading call around the time that they are wondering about the logistics and setting up a session. I'm like, before we do that, we're going to have a little conversation because you need to know what you're getting into.
Fair.
And I
yeah.
haven't had anybody say, I don't think so, bye. I haven't had that. You know, if anything, people get sort of like excited, like they're into it, yay. But the thing is, I can't assume that. I'm not for everybody, nor
right.
should I be. Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
Well, you know, I know that there are, you know, bigger things in play. You know, you and I are just doing our thing, and for that essence of Lois to come through, I mean, obviously, I definitely have some questions, because I think for you to be able to, you know, kind of touch base with other relatives of mine who have passed,
right.
like, oh, well, you know, like, you know, and those were, obviously, I love them. I didn't have that same type of, like, that spiritual
right.
relationship like I do with Lois. So I'm like, oh, shoot,
right.
you know, if we can get, you know, my Lola, who,
right.
who out of all, besides probably Lois, is, you know, in terms of a spiritual icon in our family. And she's a woman. She was a woman of very few words. And even
right.
like, she comes to me in dreams. She doesn't say anything, but her presence is there. I'm like, okay. and you know, it's been over 20 something years since my grandmother on my dad's side passed away. And, I'm sure in that 20 years, I know time is not something that they all, you know, worry about. But
no.
in my mind, you know, she has expanded and moved on, and who knows, you know, all the different things that she's doing. Because she's not done. But you know, our remembrance of that person has a certain form, and so that allows a connection, and that's fine. But even when you know, when like Lois comes through, I mean, it's Lois. I think I wrote this to her daughter. You know, she is so much more than just Lois. Like, her form has expanded, and I think the phrase was like, you know, she's like super cosmic, you know, mother teacher with a purple cape. You know, that's sort of what she's doing. And it's not just her, and not, you know, not just Lois as I know her as my friend and mentor and teacher, and not just Lois as a mother or grandmother, but she's so much more than that. Like, whatever she's been doing since she transitioned, her expansion is what we're able to kind of see and hopefully benefit from.
Oh yeah,
as she makes these connections. And I guess if she didn't want to make the connection, she wouldn't. You know, but it's not
she wouldn't have showed up. She showed
will.
Up.
I don't even think it's. I don't think it's a matter of her will. I think part of it is because we've asked, and then the nature of the question, and you know, maybe what we're ready to receive. It just all seems to work out the way it needs to, and at the times
right.
when it needs to.
Right.
And,
so interesting.
And so as we're healing and as we're feeling maybe a little bit better. You know, when you're in grief, you're at a certain level, and you just have to feel it.
Uh-huh.
And then as you know, move on and get a little bit better, you know, just not, you're not staying and lingering there. I saw this with my cousin Anna. It took her a couple of years.
Yeah,
and those
it sure
were,
does.
Those were really difficult years for her. It was a really difficult time for her. She didn't want to be here. You know, she was at that point, but she made it through. And my cousin is energetically just very powerful, always seems to be very happy. So you know when something's off with her. You know when she's not feeling it.
Right.
It's like a different person. So I saw this with her, and then now the relationship she has with her mother, you know, it's playful, it's very loving, and she knows it's not the same because, you know, she still misses those hugs.
Of course, my God.
But that connection is also unique, and it was meant to help her in a way because she's asked for it. Again, she's asked for that. And she was able to receive it. So, you know, as we're going through our stuff, we figure things out. Then we're open to a little bit more, and then we look at whatever that source is, you know, source itself, or we look at what we think of as our memory of a situation or of a person, and it's the perspective is so different then. You know, even. My mother's still here, but I look at my relationship with her and I'm like, yeah, you know, that was where she was and that was where I was, you know, so many years ago. And we've definitely grown and changed from that. So I have to be as present as possible. And if it's me bringing the past into it, then that's me. And that's on me. And that stuff, obviously, I need to work on. And if it's her bringing the past up, you know, that I get that that's her. And then I just have to work with whatever is showing up right now.
Right.
And I feel like that's a big thing for all of us to remember, because we're going to continue moving on. And when we move on, like, to the next phase, who knows if we were going to sign up to be like, yeah, I want to help out the people on the other side. Cool. You know, I'll continue that. Or you could be like, no, I'm done.
I just want to torture my children.
Else.
That's it. Oh, I can't wait.
I want to say hello to people in the chat room, and I know White Lily would love to have a message. So hello to White Lily, to Jay, and to Amish Comedians. So hello to all of you.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for joining.
Hello.
Yeah. So I figure maybe we'll pick a message for White Lily.
Yeah,
so White
I'm ready.
Lily, hopefully you're queued up and ready to go, and just let us know. When. Just say pick or type in pick.
Okay.
So here we go.
Type in pick. Okay. Very rare two-digit number, 3737. Okay, this is the message that you picked for yourself, White Lily. Your dreams and the physical discomforts in your body are guideposts to signal your way home back to source as a refined and restored awakening you. I'll read it again. Your dreams and the physical discomforts in your body are guideposts to signal your way home back to source as a refined and restored awakening you. 37.
What an interesting message.
Yes.
And the numbers that come with that, the 3 and the 7. Those two numbers, I tend to think of as, they're not exactly opposites, but the energy is so different around those two, they're almost like the flip side of each other. Like 3 is about energy and about wanting to make connections and spreading the love and really light. And then the 7 is like wanting to keep to itself, wanting to keep its own counsel so that it's not muddied by all the noise around it, all the chaos around it. And I tend to think of 3 as a little bit of that chaos because it's everything, you know. It's exciting, And seven, like, let me just be in a monastery. Let me just chill out for a moment. Like, I need my space. So when you have those two together, it wants you to look at seeing where you can travel between the two so extremes, you know, so to speak, the two extremes. And so with that message, there's the waking life and the dream life. And then there's also this reminder that you're in this body, so you're in a form and you're going to feel things, but you're also of source, which has no form. So again, we have these not really, I guess, duality, but on the spectrum. Like, you have a little bit of everything in there, but depends on what you're looking at, what your perspective is. So you do know that at some point you can't just stay in isolation. You can't stay by yourself. You have to be out and about, and you also can't be always in the middle of everything, because you will burn out. So you need to find those times to pick and choose. So I feel like when we combine these two numbers and you end up getting this number one, it's a 10, but eventually it's a one at the core. Then this is how we are in the physical. we have a spiritual and a physical responsibility to understand ourselves in our world, and yet we can, you know, take a little nap or sleep and travel to all these different dimensions, and then, you know, to bring it all back again. Like, okay, what does that mean? I mean, I think about my journey with, you know, like, I saw my acupuncturist last night, and so the physical stuff is like just uncovering of you know, old ancestral stuff that we've taken on. And as we release it, sometimes just acknowledging it allows it to be released, with a little help of some other stuff, like, you know, acupuncture.
Right.
But we're all embodied in all of this right now, so our experience is pretty, it can be pretty full. So moving forward, it's acknowledging all these aspects of yourself, and not being at war with it, but loving those aspects, and loving the lessons that come from it, and in doing so, you know, loving yourself and kind of cutting yourself a lot of slack, of you know, maybe not trying to compare yourself, because your experience is your experience. So you just go about it. But it's a well-rounded, you know, one. Overall, it's a well-rounded one of having these extremes of the three and the seven factor in. And it's just a reminder, because it could have been a 64. It would have been the same thing, a one, but very different energies. You know, or a nine and a one to make a one. Very different energies. Three and seven is like everything. And then you taking the time out to understand it, to process it, and you go back out again, and you're around, you're in the world, and you're reminding yourself, all right, yeah, I am in this, I'm in this body, I'm in the world, I'm having the energy, and I can make choices that benefit me. And seven is about these choices, about the discernment that you can have, given the wisdom that you accumulate after going through all these different experiences. Anyway, she wrote, I go back and forth between being social and out with the world and then back home in my cocoon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
3-7, what you're talking about. Yes. And especially, you know, obviously in the pandemic, you kind of, everyone's kind of forced to kind of look into that seven.
Yep.
Get really real with yourself, because the seven is a big energy. Yet I think a lot of us, Even the introverts are like, you know, it would be nice to be out and about. It would be nice to visit some people that I really miss. So that longing to be in community or to be out with other people and to have those connections, now we have to be smarter about it and pick and choose what we want to do and how long we're going to be in it. And it is a big adjustment for everybody. And for people who aren't spiritually minded, it's, you know, they could just be like just really depressed about, you know, about feeling limited. And for those who are spiritual, you can still feel that way and still be spiritual, but you'll figure out ways to feed your soul.
Right.
And you get creative, which three is also a very creative number. So you can get very creative. And the balance here is that the seven is going to say, hey, let's really be smart about this. And, smart from a physical standpoint, but also from a spiritual standpoint, just taking all these things into account and then making the best possible choice in the field of possibilities.
Right.
She also wrote, do you think this lady, okay, now here we go.
Here we go. With my man, with my money. No, go ahead.
Do you think this lady is going to reach out to me from this magazine? The editor-in-chief wrote me an email saying she was going to have this lady contact me about working with them. But I vaguely know the lady. She was on my mailing list. And I started to feel weird energy around this other girl, and I have reached out to her before about working with her, and she never replied.
Oh.
I could be reading into this, but I got a little concerned that maybe she spoke to the editor with some negative things about me, since I share a lot about New World Order things, which if people are not open to, that they may think someone is a bit off, if you know what I mean. Do you think see us working out a deal? I hate that my mind did this to me, but also want to honor and listen to my intuitions or insecurities? Question mark.
There's so many. This question / comment. If we could put a picture to it, it would be a Rubik's cube. Like there's a lot implicit in what you just read to me.
Mm-hmm.
New World Order.
What
is that?
So White Lily, if you want to type it in, but what I get is the New World Order is the idea of having like all these things that's happening, the pandemic, Trump. All the
right.
things that are happening, it's actually ushering in, just a new world, a new way of doing things.
Sure, I understand. Okay.
So for her, she just wrote here, it's stuff going on with this, COVID hoax. So that's part of the idea for a lot of people for the New World Order that it was, I've seen it said as a plandemic, like it was meant to happen. That type
so
of
this
thing.
Is like a conspiracy theater, kind of a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I think people would probably put it in that category. There's a lot of movement behind that. I would say also a lot of spiritual people have kind of gotten on that bandwagon of, there's a lot more happening here than people understand,
right.
and
sure,
things are not as they seem. So there's a lot
usually.
Of that, and yeah, so
right,
yeah. So she said, yes, Alisa, they call it conspiracy, but it's truth. So that's the sense where White Lily is talking about.
Okay,
And she said, I don't want to distract you guys with this. I'm just curious about the situation.
Well, too late. No, I'm kidding. No, that's okay. No, that's okay. So, it's done. We're thinking about it. So let's just, we have time. So let's unpack that a little bit. Because no, it's not a distraction. It's a conversation. It's a question that you asked, but the way and the manner that the question was asked, it made me feel like a Rubik's cube, because there
was
a lot going on in there. So, I mean, if the core and this happens, this is a common thing that happens. You're asked one thing, but there's 20 other things that you really want to know about.
Sure.
And that's very, very normal, and that's absolutely fine. If the truth is the truth is the truth as you live it, And we can all exist where the truth for everyone can be different. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, it's called one's truth, the truth. And I think that's a Course in Miracles thing. Like, everybody has their own truth.
Sure.
So the way that, and this is why the chaos and the unpredictability and the immediacy of life, and that all we know is this present moment, because that is the truth, is this moment, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in being, in claiming your truth as you are living it and perceiving it and expressing it, then that's your anchor. And if other people aren't going to line up because it's not a mirroring of their respective truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's this editor person or the woman that said that they were going to work together, they have their own truths which may or may not line up with White Lily's truth.
Right.
So at the end of the day, it's about lining up with your truth no matter what, if that's the choice that you're going to make.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a, you know, if you think about the law of reciprocity, if there is a flowing exchange of energy, to see all sides doesn't mean to, you know, you choose the truth that is your truth, with the understanding that others may see their truth differently than yours.
Mm-hmm.
To speculate, maybe this one talked to that one. It's speculation. So there's a lot gumming up the works here. So energetically, the energy is very tangled.
Yeah.
And I don't, and because I'm feeling like a tanglement of energy that's like clogging the drain to flow. It's like the bath water is getting backed up here energetically. I have no answer. I'm just feeling a lot of entanglement right now with the energy.
Sure. And she's been writing some things in here. She's looking at that, you know, did you see the other lady saying something negative to the editor-in-chief? She said, I don't even know what this other lady thinks about it all. And she said, yes, I'm afraid of being accepted for being me. I see what the issue is here. It's my own fear. I have to trust that these people are open to sharing something new with their readers. I don't
exactly.
even write about that for this magazine, but I see how I have to get more comfortable in being myself. She said, my tub was clogged last week as well as my toilet on the same day. It got unclogged, though. It was before this all happened. So this
doesn't
is good.
Matter.
This is good to
not on a
timeline. Right. It was good to talk it out because
exist.
You know, like you said, like some of the questions is like, oh, is it this? Is it this? And White Lily has listened to us long enough to know, you know, obviously we don't know what the other persons are thinking. But you've White Lily, you've worked out what the issue is. Liz, as you were talking, I was thinking, well, maybe that's why, you know, that editor in chief wanted the two of you to connect.
Exactly.
Because of this
Thank
opposing
you.
Viewpoint. And
right.
And so yeah, I think it would behoove most, you know, publications to have a differing viewpoint.
Right.
You know, that stirs up more conversation.
Debate, sure.
Yeah.
A Republican and a Democratic party? Like, why do we have multiple parties? It's the same thing.
Right. Right. And I think she's still asking, you know, I think that's just what I see. I think there's an opportunity there. But then again, you know, if the fear is big enough, it's interesting because the fear was like, oh, I'm not going to be accepted for being myself. And you know, and so that's something, White Lily, that, you know, you work through regardless of whether it's this situation or another situation.
Right.
When I think about that situation, though, specifically with that magazine editor, I think, you know, the idea is it's a 50-50 shot, right? I mean, either, you know, there's an opening, there's a possible connection, whether, you know, this person contacts you in a what you think of as a respectable timeline, who knows? A lot of times our idea of we want to happen faster, quicker, right now, because you just mentioned it right now. A lot of times it just doesn't work out that way. And so it's interesting because in the interim, be mindful of what you're thinking about. If you're thinking about, she's not going to like me, you know, that's you kind of setting the tone for all of that. So that's the filter. So if she doesn't respond to you in a week or, you know, in 2 days, then that's what you're going to sit with. So just be aware of what you're planting, these seeds of doubt.
Yes.
Be aware of what you're planting. Because it doesn't have to be that way. It could be that maybe at the end, oh, well, she just didn't think that was, you know, it was the right fit. But it doesn't mean that you're a bad person for thinking what you're thinking. You know, it doesn't mean, it just means that, you know, there's another avenue for that. So there's
like
a
dating.
Lot. Like you said, that Rubik's Cube totally makes sense. Because, you know, you look at one side, you can, I mean, it's been years since I've touched a Rubik's Cube because why go through that craziness? But, you know, you can work so hard and get one side that makes that lines up, and then the other sides are all jacked up. You know,
that's like, right.
What do you do?
No.
So there's still another perspective to it. So White Lily, I would say, you know, just go with what your intuition was saying was like, you know, oh, this issue. This is what has brought up the issue for me. The issue isn't if this lady's going to contact you. Not really. If she does, that's great because then you have another step. Right, you have more steps to take in that direction, and you still have to be you. You still have to, you know, at any moment she could be like, I don't like you, you know, and that's
right.
True for all of us.
Right.
So, you know, you still have to work with that inner relationship, and, you know, that is what has to sustain you, because other opportunities are going to come up, and as we go through it, then you'll know it'll line up. Like that Rubik's Cube, it'll line up, you know, on two sides. Or maybe it solves itself. And it just takes time, and that's something we can't have a timeline for. And there's no timeline for self-improvement, right? Like it's ongoing.
Never. It's perpetual. Right. And a lot of it, you know, and this sometimes can be a challenging pill to swallow. It's self-centered fear, self-centered anxiety, self-centered insecurity. And then when you realize that, you can really kind of step back and just say, mm-hmm. I put this on the altar to be healed. I do that all the time now as a just to manage day-to-day life, you know, with all the uncertainty and the chaos. And listen, nothing would surprise me if this was a pandemic or this was, you know, whatever. Nothing would surprise me. I'm open to all possibilities. Any of them could be true.
Well, what I'm getting is that there's usually a combination of things.
Exactly. They're factors.
That,
right.
You know, if we were to truly uncover things, it, you know, it's a just massive world plan. And you're like, I just wouldn't even have the thoughts of how all this connects. And I know, actually, I've seen, you know, where some people have tried to do that. And yet, even that is you know, it's not ours to figure out all of it. It's like, what is our part in how we live our lives? And so, you know, there are some things that I'm like, yeah, that seems to make sense to me. I know it may not be popular with other people, and that's fine.
Right.
But I would say, you said a phrase just a little bit ago, Liz, about a tough pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons why I was a little late getting on air, I've taken some supplements this morning.
Oh my god!
Usually I take them like one at a time, but I thought, let me just go ahead and just take them all at once. And I was sort of choking on one of them.
Oh girl!
And I'm like, well, this is odd. You know, in that moment of, well, this is weird. Like, could I work it through? Just drink some more water. I'm like, nope, that's not working. It's still stuck. I'm like, I'm just not. It worked itself. I didn't have to throw up or anything like that. I probably should have. But like, okay.
Well, you worked that out, but that's fascinating. And when images come up, it's like, I could have come up with so many different things. Clogged drain. Thank you. Hello, because it happened. Tough pill.
Right.
Thank you. So, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad you're okay.
Yeah, well, me too.
We all are. My goodness.
So you know, what I was thinking is, here I am trying to take a shortcut. You know, I'll just do it all at once. Or,
right.
You know, so biting off more than you can chew, that type of thing. And
right.
Okay. Let me relax. And I was like, okay, whatever needs to happen, happens. You know.
Right. Surrender.
It can't stay stuck. Like, I can't stay stuck. Either it goes back out or it goes down. You know.
Yeah, you have, yeah, that's right. Uptown or downtown? You decide.
Right. Right.
Right.
Right. So I think, you know, what Lily is already, she's had to go, but it's good.
Okay,
she's working it out. She's like, I'll do some work around this day to clean up my thoughts and energy. And you know, like for me, I've definitely gone down some rabbit holes, so I understand where she's coming from. I know.
You completely understand. Absolutely.
I know how deep that can go. And there are some things where I'm like, yeah, I can see that happening. And then others, because it doesn't connect to so many other things, that I'm like, I don't know if I there's a line here. So I'm on the side of the line. I've figured out where those lines are. But I think there are something to some of the things that are happening. Yeah, some of it's just a little crazy, but it's just crazy enough that you know, you may just need to pay a little attention. It's not like you have to, you know, take the red pill or the blue pill, or take any pill at all. But it's just being aware, and again, doing your own research, everything. I mean, people feel the same way about our, you know, channeling or, you know, talking
right.
to spirits. Or
right.
I remember when I first started doing numerology readings, one of my friends was like, you may need to be careful about that, you know, about prophesying. And I'm like, I don't think I would have called it that, but okay.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm like, I get the concern because he's still a dear friend of mine, but because it's something unknown.
Of course.
Certainly, and even now, like even knowing, like, sometimes you know the things you need to do and you don't do them anyway. I mean, that's true
right.
for anything. Like,
sure.
I know I'm supposed to do that, but I'm still going to do it. You know, so we deal with rules and we deal with consequences. And I understand, like, the concern for other people to, you want to be protective and, you know, you don't want anybody to get hurt, because you don't want to be that person that's like, oh, I told you so. Sometimes you do want to be that person, but
right.
in some cases you really, you know, ultimately
yeah.
I feel like most people want to do it out of love. But you got to figure it out. And the only
yep.
way to do it is to, you got to go through it. Yeah, and Jen is saying, my brain hurts when I get too overly concerned with details. Yes. As someone who's super analytical.
Right.
Trust me.
Yes, you know. At least I wrote that book.
I know what it's like.
Right. All day.
Aye.
Fascinating. But it's so wonderful when you know, like, you can work it out. Like White Lily worked it out. You
mm-hmm.
are working it out. You worked it out with so that you wouldn't really like choke severely on the supplements that you were taking. She, I'm sure her clogged tub is unclogged, and there mm-hmm. and that metaphor to unclog her thoughts. And
yeah.
just and stand in your truth. If that's
right.
your truth, stand in your truth. Allowing all others to have their truth. And I liked what you said, that the editor probably thought, well, these are two different viewpoints that could be interesting. So everybody has a point of view along with yours.
Right.
And that's something that we tend to forget. We're very centric on our own points of view. But
mm-hmm.
to the degree that that's so strong and so steadfast, everybody else has their own. And oftentimes it's not going to line up exactly with your POV.
Right.
But that's what makes things interesting and compelling. And that's why the main truth is this moment, and then the next, and then the next, and then the next.
Right.
That I mean, that really, it really comes down to that. And if we can fold into being present of the present, then things roll out in a way that's way more digestible than thinking about what somebody else is thinking or whatever. And it's not easy.
Right.
At all. But in that awareness, and that's why I'll close the show by just saying what I said a moment ago, where if it's something unmanageable, place it on the altar to be healed.
Right.
Or whatever metaphor you want to use. Just place it. When things were unbearable with my son being out late or being at risk or... And when a lot of the protests were going on for Black Lives Matter, my son being a young black teenager, and I was shook to my core, there were just some nights where I was just racked with anxiety and panic, and knowing that I just needed to just shut down and sleep and with the phone next to me, hoping that he would check in and whatever. And I have to say he's gotten so much better in the last couple of weeks. Thank you, Jesus. But I would say, God, you're the nanny. Because I can't. And also he's put himself in situations where he'll interact with, someone else. And their parents, and they could be from, a upper kind of class, strata, whatever, not knowing me, not knowing him, whatever. And he would tell, and I would be mortified because I knew this was going to happen. Like, these parents are going to think, I don't give a damn about my son. Mm. And I had to let that go. Because it really disturbed me that judgments were being made,
right.
and it was something out of my control, and also certain decisions that his father, my ex, that he made that I totally disagreed with, but I couldn't do anything about, and then I have these parents that have more money than God, and. And I, judging, don't your parents care about you? And I wanted to die. And I had to just be steadfast in my truth. I know what I've done and what I do on a daily basis as a mother with a mm-hmm. child who's at risk. What the hell can I do? And it can't matter what these people who I understand why they made that judgment. So I say all of that. Too bad White Lily is not listening, because this kind of goes into, like, I know I've been judged horrendously. Can't do a damn thing about it.
Mm.
I have to judge myself in a loving way by not judging myself, but knowing that I've done everything in my capacity as a mother. So,
right.
And that's my truth. But we will all be judged. Can't do a damn thing about it. So on that note, if you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. We're scheduled to be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Please take very good care of yourselves and each other. stay safe, and as always, let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. Love you guys. Take care.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.